It's Let's Talk Legal on the Talk Station FM 107.1. And today we're joined by Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And as I begin the program, just to remind you, the website, Harvell and Collins, spell out the word and, please, harvellandcollins.com, or by phone, 252 area code 726-9050. Make that personal contact. Make that effort. Make that phone call, 252-726-9050. And the website again, harvellandcollins.com. And with that, Cecil, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Lockwood. Here we are, the 1st of October. And, of course, the 1st of October for we lawyers at our law firm means that we are beginning to think about that we have a couple of months, to 3 months exactly, before the close of the year. And always in October is the time when we begin the updating the annual minutes and meetings of our various corporate entities.
Mm-hmm.
And corporate entities, Lockwood, can mean a LLC, known as a limited liability company. It can be a family LLC, family limited liability company, which is really just generally kind of designating that the assets in the limited liability company are spread amongst, sprinkled amongst different family members. Our corporate entity can be an S corporation, a C corporation. Our corporate entity can be a family limited partnership, which would be a partnership entity. And the one thing that all, and each of these kind of work in a little bit of a different way. There may be sometimes are some advantages and disadvantages to which structure we choose to have our assets titled in the name of a corporation or to have our business operate as a corporation. But the bottom line is that all of these entities, Lockwood, every single one of them, require corporate documentation. We can't have our cake and eat it too here. Our listeners are aware of the fact that the reason that we create these entities usually is for liability protection, for some tax advantages, for some control issues amongst members of the corporation, shareholders, control mechanisms. There are lots of advantages as to why we have a corporation or a limited liability company. A lot of times, again, to repeat, to limit liability, mm-hmm. to be able to have the shareholders and or members of the LLC not to be held personally liable for the comings and goings of the corporation. Well, that is good language, and that is a very noble goal and objective. But if we don't stand up, Lockwood, and talk and walk, and I might add document like a corporate entity, then we are vulnerable. The state of North Carolina has any number of guidelines for us in statutes and in case law as to what a corporation is to look like on paper. And a corporation is not just simply a let's go to the North Carolina Secretary of State website, fill in the form, pay $100, get a corporation, print it out on a printer, put it in a filing cabinet, and guess what? We think we're incorporated.
Uh-huh.
And that is not going to weather the storm, Lockwood, if we were audited by the Internal Revenue Service, if we were audited by the North Carolina Department of Revenue. If there's a lawsuit, then the lawyers on the other side are going to have a very fun day with our corporation saying that, yes, you know, Mr. Harvell, you created this corporation, but you didn't do any of the necessary details to make it a viable entity. And we are going to, you know, pierce the corporate veil and hold you personally responsible because of the fact that you did not have annual minutes, you did not have a corporate checking account, you did not maintain solid corporate tax returns, you didn't have officers or shareholders meetings. None of these details were attended to. And so what we're doing now, Lockwood, is we just kind of take it one by one. We go through our corporate clients, and we send them some minutes, some doc, and I'll go through the documents that we actually send in a moment. And then they review them. If they have any modification, if there's been any very significant event in their corporate life, then they will let us know and we'll add that. But, or if there's been, you know, a change, a death of a shareholder or a new shareholder, then we would add or delete that. But the bottom line is that we document our corporate book and make it known that the corporation for yet another year is upstanding and is up and running for business. And I, when I mentioned the corporate book, Lockwood, I know I'm just rattling on here. Sorry about that, Lockwood. You have a Corpex or whatever company you choose to order a corporate book. And mm-hmm. this is a notebook, if you will. It doesn't have to be from a commercial establishment, but any kind of notebook that would maintain these corporate records in a logical and organized manner, so that if you are the subject of a lawsuit, then you take that corporate book off the shelf and you hand it, you make a copy of it for the adverse party, and you say, look, here are 10 years of minutes, here are 10 years of documentation, we maintain this corporate book, we have our annual meeting as required by the North Carolina statutes, and we really are in good form here, and we expect our corporate entity to shield us.
You know, we talked about this in previous conversations about issues such as partnerships, and I'm wondering, are partnerships likewise? You mentioned basically
family limited partnerships.
But does a partnership also, I would assume, to maintain that sense that that those boundaries as a separate entity from individuals, you would is a partnership a similar concept, and would a partnership require corporate minutes and corporate documentation?
Well, the answer, Lockwood, is that any business arrangement, let's face it, the more we have in writing and the more documentation we have, the better we are. But there is a particular statute that requires that a partnership, per se, an agreement to do business between two or more people, known as a partnership, necessarily have this documentation. Because after all, in a partnership, the partners are liable for the liabilities of the partnership. In a very famous case in North Carolina, quite frankly, that involved my grandfather,
really?
Known as C.N. Stroud versus National Biscuit Company, which we ought to talk about that case someday.
That may be, of course, National, by the way, I've got to throw in a little bit of trivia. National Biscuit Company has an acronym most people don't even know represents National Biscuit Company, which is Nabisco. But that's interesting. All right. So, but
the corporate, the focus of today, Lockwood, is absolutely the corporation. And all of our listeners need to be aware of the fact that they should have annual documentation in a corporation, be it a C corporation or an S corporation, that begins with the shareholders coming together and acknowledging that they're having a meeting and electing a board of directors, okay? And then the board of directors have a meeting and elects the officers, the president, the secretary, the vice president, whatever office they deem appropriate. Now, we all know that some of these corporations are what are known as mom-and-pop corporations.
Right.
And so mom-and-pop might think it's kind of silly for mom and pop to meet, because mom and pop are meeting all through the day every day anyway. But you know, that still need, they still need to reduce to writing that as to this particular time that they're together, it's a meeting for them to acknowledge that they exist, to affirm and ratify all of the actions of the corporation for the last year, to acknowledge their banking relationship, their tax return filings, and to elect, you know, directors, and the directors elect then the officers. Officers of a corporation, you know, do have to sign corporate documents, the president, the secretary, and so there needs to be some, many times there actually is with banking, when you borrow money on behalf of a corporation, the bank has certificates that they have amongst their forms that people sign at these closings that acknowledge who the officers are and who the president happens to be and the secretary and things of that nature. So again, we're very busy this month and into next month, November, just taking these one by one and getting them updated for our clients.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell today and about an issue that seems rather mundane, but as we're going to get into, I think, in a few minutes here, very important, particularly when it comes to liability. We're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins, and I do want to remind you, go to that website, harvellandcollins.com. And anyone listening to this program today, if you're a corporation, have a partnership, have a business relationship, you might want to pay close attention to what we're talking about today. That's harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, please. harvellandcollins.com, and that number, 252 area code 726-9050. Again, we're talking with Cecil Harvell today about the issue of corporate minutes. And Cecil, you've gone through sort of a long explanation of the importance of corporate minutes. Now, there are some companies, individuals, partnerships, LLPs, LLCs, where people have initiated these programs, have been otherwise occupied, distracted, may have failed to fulfill their requirements for maintaining minutes and documentation. Is there a way to correct that before something significant occurs?
That's a great question, Lockwood. And we run into this all the time.
I can imagine. And,
and many, many times during this period of time in the year, this in the, these last few months of the calendar year, in that people will just simply say, you know, here's my here is my corporation, my articles of incorporation, which I printed off the printer, and I did this, you know, 4 years ago, and to be honest with you, you know, Cecil, that's all I have.
Right.
And what we do in a circumstance like that, first of all, just let's begin to just acknowledge that absolutely we can help you. We can help a proprietor owner of a corporation with circumstances like that, which is kind of the basis of your question, Lockwood. And here's more of the answer, which is that, yes, we then, of course, will order a corporate book. We'll go back a couple of years and document two, maybe three, depending on the time of year when they were created, and document, you know, two, maybe three calendar year meetings, okay, and acknowledge that they occurred. We won't so much backdate them. That would not be, you know, honest, if you will, to backdate them. But to acknowledge that even though it's 2023, we did in fact have a meeting in 2021. We did in fact have a meeting in 2020, and we're acknowledging here in 2023 that we had that meeting.
Right.
Okay. All right, and now we have what I would call a start, Lockwood. We have a good start, I might add. We have gotten off a home plate, and we're probably over even at first, second base. The bottom line is that each and the years just fly by. We all know that, and that as each and every year, the next year comes, and the following, and then the following. The bottom line is that within 4, 5, 6 years, you know, here we are now, and that corporation is just looking very, very strong in its documentation, and that's what you want to have. We have corporations in our office. We maintain a lot of these corporate books at our law firm, and we have, You know, we have these corporations that, you know, are 25 years old now, 30 years old now, and have 25 years of minutes. Okay, how wonderful. I dare the IRS or the right. Department of Revenue or any lawyer anywhere to try to attempt to say that this is anything but a valid and upstanding corporation. They may have an issue, and it may need to be determined, and it may need to be resolved, but absolutely on the corporate level and not on the shareholder level, because these folks really have, this particular business really has walked and talked like a corporation.
You know, Cecil, this leads me to a question, and this is a little technical, and I apologize. You mentioned the IRS, and I know that the IRS has theoretically statute of limitations, and they look back years. I use that term. I hope I'm correct on that. I think it's 5 or 7 years. I can't remember now the length of time, but somewhere in that vicinity. If, in a four-year time frame, they look back at my corporation and they say, oh, there are no minutes in that time frame, can they continue to look back further than the statute of limitations in light of the fact that I apparently have not been maintaining have been diligent in maintaining my records? Is there, you used the term earlier, piercing the veil as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a statute of limitations on that? Because I'm thinking, oh gosh, I haven't kept minutes for 5, 7, 8 years. And so I'm wondering, is there the potential of that, which would also, if you will, motivate me and others, as we're listening to this program with you today, and of course we're talking to Cecil Harvell, get on the stick, get it done. So my question is there a potential that, because you said the term piercing the veil, that failure to do so could create even further problems going down the line?
Well, I think, Lockwood, there's nothing good to say, if you will. There's no safe harbor whatsoever. Okay. In a corporation that's nothing more than, you know, a piece of paper and a file folder that we happen to be able to locate that says we're incorporated.
Okay.
And we open up, your question kind of is one of, you know, we open up Pandora's box. Maybe there is a statute of limitations of 3 years or 5 years, but if we've not maintained these records, then potentially for 3 years or 5 years, then potentially, you know, the statute never even was told, if you will, because of the fact that we didn't have appropriate documentation. Now, another important aspect of corporate viability and corporate the importance of being up to date in one's corporate just in one's corporate life, mm-hmm. is the annual reports or annual disclosures that one needs to make with the Secretary of State in North Carolina. Once there's an annual report that is filed with regard to corporations, and there is an annual disclosure that is made by limited liability companies. And so before we end our program today, that was something that I wanted to end on, which is that anyone who is listening who has a corporate entity, you should go to the North Carolina Secretary of State, mm-hmm. and you should review the information that they have relative to your corporate entity. Do they still have the correct address?
Right.
Do they still have the correct registered agent? Do they still have the correct members of the LLC or members of the corporation?
Mm-hmm.
They maintain this information. They charge, you know, $100, $150 fee, something of that nature, maybe $200 with the limited liability company every year. And so they are not going to contact you. They're not going to contact us. This is a matter of us contacting the Secretary of State's office to determine whether or not we are in good standing. And this is a very important, very, very important thing that everyone should be doing. We do that for our corporations that we represent where we're doing the update. We will also just check in with the Secretary of State and make sure that the information is generally accurate. But that's important. We have another, you mentioned earlier about a corporation that really hasn't maintained itself for 2 or 3 years, 4 years, and then all of a sudden comes by the office and wants us to start the process.
Right.
Sometimes that happens because they go to sell a piece of property, mm-hmm. or they go to do some sort of banking relationship, and the bottom line is they're told that their entity has been administratively dissolved by the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens a lot, Lockwood, that corporations are simply dissolved administratively by the Secretary of State for failure to file these annual reports.
Wow. All right. And of course, this again goes back to the issue of assuring IRS and or any legal entity that you are in fact a corporate entity. We're talking with Cecil Harvell today, and this is I'm fascinated by this, Cecil, and the fact that what you are doing is you are acting proactively on part of your clients. So, the clients obviously have their personal responsibilities, corporate responsibilities, but you are saying, you are reminding me and others, time to act like a corporation. I think that's impressive. You know, the other aspect of this, and I want to go to this very quickly, how in depth do these minutes have to be?
They need to, again, as I mentioned, the shareholders need to elect a board of directors.
Okay.
The directors need to elect their officers. They need to just affirm or ratify any new loans that have been taken out on behalf of the corporation.
Okay.
Any additional purchases of large pieces of property or equipment. But by and large, they're just affirming the day-to-day activities of the corporation, and then, of course, supplementing with something, that has happened. For instance, the death of a shareholder,
mm-hmm.
The death of a member of an LLC, and where that membership interest and or shareholder certificate now stands. That would be a classic thing that we would be dealing with in a corporate update, or a particular shareholder or member of an LLC that is no longer active. They were bought out, okay? These things sometimes happen without a lot of documentation. A member of a corporation will just say, John, I just not going to do this anymore. I want you to give me $50,000,
right,
and I'm just out of here. Well, they give the $50,000, but there's no documentation in the corporate manual nor with the Secretary of State that John no longer owns those certificates.
Okay, so these business activities need to be identified, but it doesn't require a lot of intense meetings. Am I correct on that? It could
no,
be
no, okay. No, not at all. No, it's not. It's not something that's time consuming or overburdensome whatsoever. We with regard to the way in which our procedures work, we send out these minutes. And if there are any kind of modifications to them, then sometimes that just happens over the telephone. We
okay.
then make those modifications and we resend them again.
Okay. So I'm thinking, and I can imagine a lot of people who are listening to this thinking, this is very intense, very, very complex, and I will use the word intimidating. So what you're telling me is, no, it's just a matter of business as usual. It can be moved along very smoothly. So it's not as intimidating, but it is, as you said earlier, vital in order to assure the, IRS, but all the those mm-hmm. that you do business with, that you are, in fact, a corporate entity. Cecil, one other quick question about this before we wrap it up, and I appreciate
sure.
your time this afternoon. That's Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. The corporate books, do you... who maintains the corporate books, and is it wise to have duplicates, for example?
No, there's no need to have a duplicate. We can always make a copy of the existing book if we needed to for some reason. We at our offices, we keep the corporate book so that we are able to as a service to our clients, mm-hmm. our corporate clients, as a service. We, if we have the book, then we are able to do exactly what we've talked about during this program, which is to do an annual update for that corporation and check the Secretary of State information, et cetera. Back to that information, so we maintain the corporate book physically. We keep it at our offices. Lockwood, back to that Secretary of State a minute. People might be saying, well, how in the world can they administratively dissolve me if I, if you haven't filed these annual reports? And then one of the reasons that you might not get an annual report, a notice of this in some way, Lockwood, is that, you know, and you and me talked about this off the air, just the growth. Right. Addresses change. Yes. I mean, one little change in an address, which is happening, you know, on a daily basis here in Carteret, Craven, Onslow County, just due to the growth. Uh-huh. I mean, the EMS information. I mean, I know that my address out here at my residence changed ever so slightly. Uh-huh. So if addresses change, then the information, the official information from the state of North Carolina is going to go to that older address, and then you're not going to receive it. So again, just go on to the website, all of our listeners, check your addresses, make sure they're current, uh-huh. and make sure the information is current, and then you have a whole lot less to have to worry about.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell about the issue of corporate minutes, a fact that, as you just mentioned a moment ago, that you're starting on. Before we wrap it up, final question for you, Cecil. The deadline for establishing these corporate minutes, is it a calendar year, or is it based on maybe a fiscal year or a year?
It can absolutely be a fiscal year. It can be an elected year,
okay.
As established by your accounting methods. We tend to just do it annually. Right. Because it just is administratively a good way to make sure that it's done. So we tend to have our deadline December 31, right. but there's no magic to that, Lockwood. The point is that we, within a year, within a calendar year, within a 12-month period, we want to see that the update is done, even though it may be dated February the 1st or right. March the 31st, whatever the case might be. And then, of course, again, though, I hasten to repeat, the Secretary of State absolutely is on an annual basis.
Okay, that's an important story. All right, I want to thank our host for the program, quite frankly, Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. Just to remind you, the website, harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and. I keep reminding you, harvellandcollins.com. 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050. And just a quick note, Cecil has informed me he's adding staff. So obviously, there's a lot going on in his business and in the area of Eastern North Carolina. Cecil, as always, thanks for your time today.
Okay. Thank you, Lockwood. Bye-bye.
Let's talk legal here on the Talk Station.